But I thank you that you encounter us in different ways because you know us. You know us so intimately, Lord. You know what makes us tick. You know what makes us move, Lord God. You know how to speak to us in a way that is intimately personal, Lord God. Lord, you know, Lord God, how to whisper. And Lord, and we just incline our ear towards heaven. Holy Spirit, I pray, as Jesus said, that you would take what has been said in heaven and you would make it known to us. You would let us know what you're saying, Lord, and you would make it known to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. If anyone hasn't got a Bible, you can put up your hand and we can find you one between you. And tomorrow morning, if you don't bring a Bible, I'll slap you. Bring a pen. So just look around, guys. If there's two Bibles between and you just feel you want to share your Bible. When you said, no, I don't want to share. Thank you. There's a good Christian lady. So you can write in their Bible. You can underscore everything. You can write notes on the side. I'm only joking. You can't do that. So Exodus chapter 3, and if you want to quickly find Deuteronomy, the last chapter, and you can go to Deuteronomy, the last chapter first. The Lord wants to encounter you this weekend. He wants to do this. Every encounter that you have with God, or that anywhere in the scriptures there was an encounter with God, there was a huge potential. If not every single situation, there was a divine exchange. And I want to just entitle my encountering sermon this night, you know, encountering God and experiencing a divine exchange. And my prayer this weekend is that you would see God as Moses saw God. Listen to what happened in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy. It says, Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. And there the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho to the city of Palms as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promise an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your own eyes, Moses, but you won't cross over into it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. And the Lord buried him in Moab, in this valley. And to this day, no one knows where the Lord buried him. And down in chapter verse 10 it says, since then no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all these miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel. Moses was a man who knew God face to face. Imagine God burying you. Imagine God at your funeral. And he's officiating it. And he's the grave digger. And he's the one that puts the sand on top. And not telling anyone where it's buried. That's incredible. Let's rewind. From Deuteronomy, the end of his life. Let me tell you some of his background very briefly. See, encounters really matter, and first impressions really count, don't they? You never get a second chance at a first impression. So when you have an encounter with someone, you remember what they said, you remember how they said it, you remember what they looked like, you remember the image that they had, you remember, for some who are more detailed, remember the clothing they wore, the color of their eyes, and like impressions really, really count. And Moses had encountered God. Well, Moses had an incredible background. Rob went and looked up the genealogy of Moses, and his great-grandfather was Abraham. It's a great-grandfather to have, or Jacob. And he was up in a land in Egypt when Joseph was, like, after breaking through many, many things, has seen the presence of God, the blessing of God even come on Egypt because Joseph was there. Joseph had died, and the next Pharaoh that had come on board forgot all about Joseph and forgot about the God of Joseph. But when he looked out, he seen that all of the Israelites were actually growing more stronger and in numbers and in strength than the Egyptians. They got very afraid, so they decided to put them down. And one of the things that they done was they said and gave a decree that all of the boys that were being born, they said to the midwives, kill them before they even enter this world. They wouldn't do it. They feared God. So we gave another decree that all of the Hebrew mothers had to take their boy, the newborn boys, and throw them into the Nile and kill them. And Moses was born at this stage. So his mother didn't want to do that, so she made the little basket. She put tar on it and a pitch on it, and basically put him into the Nile, basically entrusting her little boy into the hands of God. And as he was going down the Nile, the princess, Pharaoh's daughter, was bathing, and she looks out and they see this baby, and one of the handmaidens went over and got it and brought back and said, it's a baby. And Pharaoh's daughter decided to keep Moses as his own, as her own. What a tremendous adventure for a little baby. So the handmaiden said, why don't I get one of the Hebrew women to actually nurse the baby until it's at a certain age, and then, you know, it can be given over to you. The Egyptian woman went and got Moses' mother to actually do the nursing of her own son. Isn't that neat? Obviously, she knew something. Or incredibly, it was an incredible random act. So Moses grew up in the palace. He knew all of the goings on of a Pharaoh's palace, of the upbringing, the education, the background, the wealth, the power, the prosperity of growing up in Pharaoh's palace. Not only that, but he also knew what was going on in the palace, because they were very into occultish things and dark things, and they had wizards and warlocks and magicians of all kind. There was all types of going on. And this was a tremendous influence upon Moses. Of course, Moses' mother would have telling him about his great-grandfather. Of course, you would have told him about his background. But if you're living in an environment where this is telling you this is your identity, people treating you in a certain way as your identity, you lift that out and in some way come confused about who you were. Exposed to all types of goings-on in the life of Moses. You can see his struggle with his identity. For instance, he sees an Egyptian one day. Obviously, he's well grown. He's a man. He's 40 years of age, as a matter of fact. He sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, because the Hebrews now became like the dregs of society. They were the ones that were the slaves. They were the ones that were using to build their cities and all of that stuff. And he sees an Egyptian beating down a Hebrew. Moses goes down and says, what are you doing? Leave him alone. Strikes the Egyptian to death and buries him in the sand, that no one else could find him. Another time then, just shortly after that, he sees two Hebrew people fighting. He goes down and says, what are you doing? You're our brothers. And then he's turned around and says, what are you going to do? Kill us like you killed the Egyptian? Moses realized that other people know about this. Pharaoh got to know about it. He puts a death sentence on his son, Moses. Moses goes on the run. For 40 years, he went down to Midian, where he met his wife, where he worked for his father-in-law, minding sheep. 40 years he was doing this. Chapter 3 of Exodus is where I'm after bringing us up to. Moses, 80 years of age now. You think everything that was in your future is well gone at 80 years of age. In verse 1 it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within the bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Moses replied, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And God said, I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their sufferings. So I've come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Jebusites, Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, my goodness, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites have reached me, and I've seen the cry of the Egyptians. I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now, go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God says, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who am with you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses says to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and they say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what will I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you have to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am remembered from generation to generation. His background brings him right up to minding the sheep on the side of a hill for his father-in-law, Jethro. Walking along, mind his own business. Walking along, doing what he probably done every day of the week. See, we say in the scriptures, or we say as we read the scriptures, what we come this weekend for, that if you seek God, he will be found by you. But the reality in Moses' situation, God was seeking him. So whether you're seeking God, or God is seeking you, one way or another, you will find God's. One way or another, you will encounter God's. You will encounter his presence. You will encounter what he has to say to you. Moses took a look at the bush burning. In matter of fact, in the desert at that time, in any desert, it's not no big thing to see a bush burning. Because bushes burn a lot in the desert with the heat. And Moses would have seen many. But what he never seen was a bush on fire, but the bush not burning. Now that's a sight. And Moses goes over to take a look. So with God seeking him, now Moses starts to seek what is going on. Moses starts to take one movement towards God. He takes one step over what is going on. And within an instant, God speaks to him. And guys, you have set this weekend apart to take a look. What's going on? What's encounter all about? That's all it took for Moses was to make one movement towards God. And God took full advantage of the opportunity to speak to him, to show him who he was, to draw near to Moses, to draw near and speak to him. There was no mistake that God knew Moses' name. Moses, Moses. And he went over and he had a look. And I pray that our ears would hear the voice of God calling their name. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't go, sorry, Moses, it was someone else I meant to call. He knew who he was calling. He knows your name. And Moses said, and here's some of the keys to Moses' encounter. Your response to God calling you determines the outcome of your encounter. Your response is so vital to how you will encounter God this weekend. What will I say? Will I clam up? Will I say, I don't know, I don't understand? Or will I be like Moses and go, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Will I try shut him out? Will I go, that might be just my imagination. Or will I say, here I am, God. When he encountered God calling his name, you see in Moses, there was no resistance whatsoever, except when God told him what he needed him to do. But in his first impression, somehow he trusted the voice of God. I tell you, guys, when God speaks, there's somehow a response from us that trusts the voice of God. This night I pray that your response to God will be, here I am, Lord. I'm listening. Here's another key to Moses' encounter. Reverence and humility was his key to hearing God. God says to him, don't come any closer, Moses. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And Moses paid homage by taking off his sandals and acknowledging where he was standing is holy ground. God was saying, in essence, he was saying, don't just rush into my presence. Don't just take it for granted. Don't just use it as something that's common. He allowed him to take a step back, to take off his sandals, so he could go in full humility to meet the King of Glory. He wasn't going in to meet just some man. He was going in to meet the living God. He was going on to holy ground. A ground that where sheep and goats probably just pass by. But when God appears, it becomes holy. It becomes sacred. It becomes uncommon grounds. It becomes something that is spectacular. I was thinking when I was reading this, I could imagine possibly that the air around that bush was electrified with the presence of God and the atmosphere of heaven. I could imagine that, like that, it was like he walked into like a force field of just something that he'd never experienced before in his life. And the key to entering in was that he was in a submissive mode. He was in a reverent mode. It wasn't just, oh sure, I can take this for granted, I'll just get in there. It was like, I'm taking a step back because I'm going to encounter the living God. In every encounter, there is a divine exchange. What were some of the exchanges in Moses' encounter? Moses encountered with God. When he encountered God, here was the divine exchange. Revelation of God. Knowing about the history, knowing about what people had told him, knowing about what his mother had told him, knowing about who his grandfather was, knowing the stories or whatever is one thing. But revelation from God is totally different. Hearing the word, hearing about God, hearing the stories of God is great. But it's another thing when you encounter the revelation of the living God. Because information will get you so far, but revelation will take you all the way. Because it's your revelation. It's personal to you. It's not out of books. It's not out of preachers. It's not our friends. It's your revelation. There was a divine exchange of information for revelation. There was a divine exchange of revelation of God's holiness. The reverence that we go near God with. It was a revelation of God's character. When he spoke to him about his people, I see their cry. I hear their cry. I see their oppression. I see their tormentors. And I'm going to do something about it, Moses. That God was speaking like the millions of people that could cry out to God. And his revelation is, I hear the cry of people. Tremendous revelation. And also, in the divine revelation exchange, he knew God in his power. Moses got freaked out, didn't he? Who will I say sent me? What will I do? What if you don't believe me? He says, Moses, I will go in there in power. He says, Moses, what's that in your hand? He said, a staff, a stick. He says, throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground. It became a snake. Moses ran from it, the Bible says. God says, now go back and pick her up. And he took her by the tail and became the staff again. And God was showing him his greatness. Because when you go into Egypt, they had snakes. And you read on the story. And Moses needed to see God's power. And God says, I'm willing to show you my power. He says, Moses, stick your hand in your jacket. He sticks his hand in. Take it out. And he said, it was leprosy. And stick it back in. He put it back in. It came out. It was all right. He was showing him that he could do anything. He could make anything submit to him. In every encounter, there's a divine exchange. Here's another divine exchange in encountering God. Moses received his identity back. His identity being his distinctiveness, his uniqueness, his individuality. God gave it to him. He says, Moses, I am the God of your father. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. He gave him back his identity because he didn't really know who he was. He was half and half. He was reared in an atmosphere where he was Pharaoh's son or Pharaoh's daughter's son. He had the upbringing and the education of all of this. But the first thing that God says, no, you belong to me. You belong to my people. You are my chosen race. You are someone that I have known from birth, that I've seen your mother put you in the little pitch boat, and I've seen you sail down the boat, down the river, and I escorted you right into the place where Pharaoh's daughter. You are not Pharaoh's, you are the living God's. He gave him his identity back. In encountering God, he was given his heritage, his inheritance. Identity is so important. Because when you have your identity, then God can move, which he did Moses, onto the next divine exchange. Here's your purpose now, son. If you don't know your identity, you don't know what purpose you're going to have. If you don't know what purpose you're going to have, you're going to wander around life. What is my purpose? Where am I going? Who am I? What am I supposed to do? I was so moved reading a little brochure downstairs. It's called the Gift Pack or the Gift Catalog. And it's from Samaritan's Purse. And you open her up and you see all of these little things you can buy for 30 euro, 15 euro, even 10 euro. You can buy a pair of crutches for a little boy in Belarus, actually. You can buy a pair of shoes for a kid to go to school who lives in the dumps in Egypt. And they can buy a pair of shoes so they can walk to the school without getting disease or whatever. And you can buy a pig for the village. My kids ask me, what do I want for Christmas? And this is the one that moved me more. Oh, for my birthday, which is 22nd of the 12th, 1966. Next Monday. I'm joking. They said, Dad, what do you want? In Burundi is in Africa. And you can buy a little guy or a little girl their identity papers. See, when you have no identity on nobody, these kids haven't got a date of birth. There's no registration of who they are. Who am I? Who's my dad? Where am I going? And for a measly few bob, we can buy them there, just some kid, and I'm buying someone their identity, or I'm getting someone's identity thing for my birthday. And when I read that, this was weeks ago, I read it, and I'm like, of all them that's there, like, imagine having no identity. Imagine not knowing where you came from. See, you can't get a job over there. You can't get education in this place if you've no identity. And God's seen in Moses how important it is for him to have his identity. And it's important that we know who we are in Christ. Read Ephesians over and over again till God shows you who you are in Christ. You're chosen, completely forgiven, richly blessed. If we don't know this stuff, we'll never access it. And that's why I prayed for myself and pray for you every day. I pray for you, Lord, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better, that we may, because in knowing him, we'll know who we are. And I pray this weekend as we encounter God, the first thing you'll say, yeah, you're mine. I've chosen you from the foundation of the earth. I've seen you. I know what year you were going to be born, what family, what year you're going to be born, what family you were going to be born in, what city, what time in history, what date on your birth certificate. I knew all of this. You're mine. And out of that, you will do the things that God wants you to do. See, we were born of parents. Some good, some bad. But the reality is we belong to God. The reality is, even your natural parents is not who you get your full identity from. But God comes in and once encounters and goes, no, this is who you are. This is who I created you to be. This is where I created you to be. And when Moses got that bit, that's right, I'm not Pharaoh's. I don't belong to this world. I don't belong to this king of this earth. I belong to the king of heaven. And when he got that, God moved him on. And he says, now Moses, here's a divine exchange. I have a call for your life. I have a purpose for your life. Minding sheep was only doing that to get you to find me and to get your identity back so that I could say, this is your purpose. He has a call. He has a purpose. He went from the ridiculous to the sublime. He went from the mundane to the spectacular in an instant, in one encounter with God. His old life now was being exchanged for a new life, a brand new adventure he was being called on. Moses, I have a purpose for you. Here's the divine exchange. I want you to go to Pharaoh. Imagine him going back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh saying, this is my son who has disgraced me. This is my son who has brought disrepute on my name, who has told people I'm a laughing stock because of my son. Had I not raised my son better? Did my son not know the right thing to do? He could have killed the Hebrew and got away with it. But you can't kill an Egyptian and get away with it. And Moses walking into that place and he's saying, this is my son. Imagine him to all of his court. And Moses saying, I am not your son. My identity is not wrapped up in you or this world. Because I've had a divine encounter with the living God. And he told me who I really am. And not only told me who I really am, but he told me what I was created for. To come here. And you let my people go anyway. He realized this is what my call in life, my purpose is. And I tell you guys, in our divine encounter with God, when you know your purpose, you come alive. Something in you wakens up. Something in you just sprouts. This is what gets me up in the morning. This is what causes me to keep on going when storms come. There's something greater in me. It's the purposes of God. I pray that we encounter him this way this morning. In every exchange, in every encounter, there's a divine. He received his call. He received vision for the future. He received a preferred future. I love this. God says, I'm going to bring you into a spacious land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the contrast. He was in the desert. Nothing growing, nothing flowing. And God says, here's the vision. Here's your preferred tomorrow. Here's your new tomorrow. Land flowing with milk and honey. You want to exchange a mo? We're on different terms at that stage. Moses, you want to exchange this dryness, crack ground? Here's your preferred tomorrow. Flowing with milk and honey. Here's your new tomorrows. Here's the divine exchange. This for that. Brokenness for healing. No identity for identity. No purpose for purpose. No vision for tomorrow for vision for tomorrow. No wonder Moses in the end said, yeah, I'll need a bit more than this, but amen. He received in the divine exchange a preferred tomorrow. Believe me, God has this for us. You think this is it? This is not it. He has something for you. He has something to show you. He also, in the divine exchange, Moses received God's power for his own power. He says, Moses, here's my power. In the divine exchange, he wasn't saying to Moses, do it in your own strength. He says, no, Moses, you go. As you walk it out, I will work it out. You just have to walk it out. You just go into Pharaoh. I will work it out for you. Here is my power. I'm asking you to do this, not by your own might, not by your own strength, but by my power. And that's what God asks. He doesn't ask us to live out this life in our own fleshly power. He comes to live in us, to live out what he's already asked us to do. In the divine exchange, he said to Moses, I'll be with you. I will be with you. You're not on your own. In the divine exchange, there's this exchanging of God's presence going with you. Later on, Moses said to him, Lord, I'm not going in unless your presence is with me. He started to get to understand how God works. In every encounter with God, there is a divine exchange. In finishing, he got Moses by being with him to understand about his presence. And that's why Moses wouldn't go anywhere unless the cloud was with him or the pillar of fire by night. He's like, Lord, if you don't come with us, I'm not going. Moses never moved till the cloud moved. He got sensitive to God's presence. He got sensitive to the movements of God. Yeah, the cloud was big and the cloud, of course you had to see when God was moving. But God trained Moses in the bush. God trained him in the bush. God could have lit the whole side of that mountain up with his glory. He could have caused fire all over that mountain. And Moses surrounded by fire, but that little bit of ground not burning up. He could have done anything. He could have opened heaven and spoke from heaven right down to him. But he chose a little bush to reveal himself to Moses. Do you know why? He wanted to know Moses. He wanted to train him. I want you to give you the eye. I want you to give you the eye for experience me even in the small things. Even in what seems common, even what seems mundane, even what seems trivial, Moses. Because when Moses could had a sensibility to see God in this, well, then God could let him see bigger things. That God could let him see the cloud. God could let him see him face to face. God could let him hold the tablets of stone. God could allow him to go into the crack and put his hand over the mountain and God to pass by him. But don't miss God in the little things. Don't miss him because he wants to show you himself. Don't go, Lord, I want to see the clouds when God is saying, look, I'm in the bush. Don't miss me. Don't miss me in what you're doing because I'm there. I am with you. Here's my last bit in the divine exchange. He gave God his insecurity and God became his security. He says, Lord, I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm slow to speech. I have a bit of a stammer. If I go back there, they'd probably kill me. And God says, I will be with you. I am your security. He is our security. He is our security. It's not in what you are or what you do. You find your security in God, and I tell you what, you won't fall for tricks. You won't settle for low living. You won't settle for anything that sparkles. You won't settle for anyone that just speaks nice. You won't fall for the wrong people. Because your security is not found in those things. He says, Moses, here's your insecurity, your lack of confidence, your anxiety, your uncertainties. Here's how I'm going to finish that for you. I am with you. I'm your security. In the divine exchange, he exchanges inabilities, his failures, his powerlessness, his incapabilities. He exchanged this for God's power to succeed. Here, Moses, I see all your stuff. Now here's my power. Go into Pharaoh. His insufficiencies, his lack, his shortfalls, his deficiencies. God says, you have all them, Moses, but here's how you're going to get rid of them. I am who I am is sending you. I am who I am is sending you. Wherever you need, I am. Isn't that amazing? Wherever you need, he says, I am. You need help, I am your helper. You need peace, I am your peace. You need healing, I am the healer. You need to be led, I am the shepherd. Whatever you need, he says, I am. You need power, I'm the God of power. I am. I am. What do you need? How is God going to speak into your insufficiency, your shortfalls, by saying, I am what you need. His response to God, he bowed down and worshipped. He bowed down in reverence. And he bowed down and says, Lord, here I am.